If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
A lot of people are afraid of rejection of their idea, and a lot of people are afraid to spend money for the proper counsel. So, you know, people say, told me the other day, well, I have an investor friend. Okay, great. So you want to fix and flip, but your investor friend does apartment. Okay, those are two different animals. Yeah, you got to put improvements into an apartment, but they are two different animals. They're two different worlds. So I don't think I go get advice from that guy. I'm going to go get advice from someone that has been there, done that, and successful today in fixing and flipping.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Sensei Gilliland of Southern California, founder and president of Black Belt Investors, began his investing endeavors in 1995. Through martial arts, Sensei has learned the discipline it takes to channel his energy toward achieving personal goals. He has taken the qualities to become a top-ranking black belt and funneled them into becoming a successful real estate entrepreneur. Black Belt Investors has contributed to many success stories and thrives on the achievement of students obtaining a black belt in real estate investing, and their specialty is working with investors of all levels and creating successful plans of action. Sensei, welcome to the show.
My pleasure, bro. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, man, the pleasure is mine. The same questions I ask everybody who comes on. Where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Good question. So I started my very first business right out of high school, which I still own today. And we've been able to branch out and have several different locations of martial arts studios and boxing gyms in Los Angeles County. But that was basically an after school evening program for kids and for adults getting after off of work, wanting to work out. And I had my days free. So I really wanted to pick up another type of business that would be what they call passive. I don't know any business that's truly passive, you know, but I was looking at coin-op car washes, and I thought, well, coin-op car washes, cash business, no one's really on the grounds. You hire a senior citizen for a couple of hours to come in and fill the soaps and clean up the place. You're good to go. It's open 24/7. But here's the thing. I knew nothing about real estate. I didn't know about leasing. I didn't know about build-to-suit. I didn't know about zoning. I didn't know about any of this stuff. I just knew the concept and how the business works. So I started investigating, and here's what I ended up learning. Real estate controls all businesses. So I ditched the coin-op car wash and got right into real estate. And here I am today.
Just like that. So what did that look like for you when you say I got into real estate? What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, I ended up doing what everybody else does. I watched an infomercial back in 1994, ended up going to a hotel, paid $1,500 for a three-day course. I mean, it was completely foreign to me. And a lot of people will say, oh my God, you paid $1,500. Yeah, well, I ended up spending another $35,000 on what we call boot camps today. Back there, they were seminars. And people are like, oh my God, I would never spend that type of money. Well, if I didn't, I wouldn't be here today where I've done over 10,000 flips. So with that, I'm living in Southern California. I did my very first fix and flip in Fort Myers, Florida, because I couldn't afford to purchase here in California. And so I flew over there, found a real estate agent, went the conventional method, got a loan from Bank of America with 10% down, bought a house that was approved probate. They fixed it up. They said, hey, we should have this thing fixed up within 2 months and listed and sold within 6 months. Well, 3 months go by, 4 months go by. I'm newly married. I'm sweating it out. You know, I don't even have any more credit left on my credit cards to fly over there to check out the deal. But 9 months later, to my surprise, I received a FedEx envelope, ripped it open, pulled out a check, and I made a little over $9,000 in net profits. So then I sit and figure, and I'm like, gosh, you know, I made a little over $1,000 a month in residual income. Well, heck, I treated real estate like I treat a can of Pringles. Once you pop, you can't stop. So I went out there and started buying more property. And from there, I worked my way all the way from Florida all the way to California, and now we're, to my knowledge, the second oldest turnkey provider in California that's in select markets across the states. And we service people all over the world.
Wow. That's wild. So I'm curious. I just want to dig into that deal a little bit because I'm not sure I understand it. But how did you flip a property and you didn't have direct control necessarily what was going on in the timelines? What was that?
Well, a lot of wishing and hoping, which is not a course of action, by the way. So here's the thing. I had enough money to put the down payment. My property was $42,000 back then. So I had $4,200. Plus, I had a little bit of money of seasoning, which the bank required. But I had no money for the rehab, which was a little over $17,000. Mm. But I remember listening to my 8-tracks that if you have a good deal, money will come to it. And it sure did. It came right out of my credit card. So I used my credit card as a hard money lender to fund the rehab project. Sure. And back then, you can take one balance and move it over to the next card 30 days later and over to the next card 30 days later without ever having to pay any interest fee. Well, they caught on to guys like me, and now they charge us for transferring balances. But ultimately, the bank rehabbed my house for free.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. All right. Very good. And so now you're one of the second largest, you said second largest turnkey provider?
No, I'm the second oldest turnkey provider in California.
Oldest. Okay. Yeah. So you guys are investing as a turnkey provider across the country. So you've now partnered up with lots of other people and boots on the ground operations to really provide opportunity to your investor base.
Yes and no. So a lot of turnkey providers that promote properties outside of their remote area will do exactly what you said. They will network and they will work with maybe a contractor and construction company that's building pre-construction. We're a little bit different. I actually deploy my students from California out to these markets and they work for me full-time. So I have project managers on the ground, contractors work for me full-time exclusively. The only ones that are not exclusive would be like, you know, your professional service like title and escrow and attorneys.
Now that's interesting. So how many, you said students. So how many people come to you and want to learn what you do? Do you send out every year?
Yeah, I've done thousands and thousands of students. People come to me really for wholesaling, as in Southern California. And so they come to me for wholesaling, rehabbing, and for purchase options. And that's kind of my forte, is really how to get creative in flipping properties, whether it's a conventional method like fix and flip. I do things differently from everybody else. And learning how to extract the deals that most people just can't find in today's tight market, right? So investors come to us to learn how to either start a business, which we teach them how to build a real estate business, or we teach them how to build a real estate portfolio or a combination of both. Or if they already have an existing business, we teach them how to scale their business to a different level. And so those that are wanting to be involved with Black Belt Investors and those select students that I see that have the potential, well, then I teach them and then I will deploy them out to other markets that we're working in.
And then what do they do? So they go out, they find the assets, they rehab, they work with the contractors on site, they get the product ready.
Yes.
And then where does that product go from that point?
Yeah. So their job is really project management and acquisitions. Mm-hmm. And I have my hands a lot in the acquisitions part. Basically, we're not a turnkey provider that has existing inventory sitting in our, you know, bank here. So if someone comes to us and says, yeah, we're looking for a turnkey property, where can we go? Well, most of your providers will say, go to our website. We got 10 properties available. Choose one. We think number 3 is the best for you. That's probably because number 3 has been sitting in their books their longest and they would just want to get rid of it. We have absolutely nothing for sale. Zero. Zip. Zilch. The way we work here is that we personally tailor everything to the client. So a client like you would come to us. We'd learn more about you. You'd learn more about us. Understand the process, understand your needs, so we can successfully build your rental portfolio, because we're not looking to sell you just one property. We want to sell you 10, 20 properties so that you have enough in order to subsidize your current income so that you can retire on. So we personally tailor everything to the customer is what we do. Once we learn about them, then we go out and get that property that fits their criteria. We rehab it, make it turnkey, code compliant, and hand it off to property management at that
point. Right. And do you guys do in-house property management, or is that third party?
That's third party.
Okay. Yeah. So you guys then use local property management to handle it from that point forward.
That's correct. Yeah.
A lot of the property managers I'm seeing right now are doing a lot of turnkey on, you know, as well. So especially here in the Memphis market, I can't think of any of our property management companies that aren't also doing turnkey. Is there ever any conflict of interest?
So I don't choose property management companies that are also investment firms that are providing the same. Mm. There are a lot of property managers that will provide turnkey investments, but that percentage compared to the other property management companies that strictly just manage is very small.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So I work with property managers that we will not have that challenge of conflict of providing, because my thing is that it's important for us that if I send a client over to a property manager, yes, it's their client, but it's still my client as well.
Right.
And here's the other thing, you know, I've built several property management companies, and with that, they end up hiring me as a consultant to help them scale their property management company as well. So I help fine tune a lot of things with a lot of property managers I've used. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
Gotcha. Okay. That's really, really cool. It's a unique business. What, I mean, how has this business evolved over the years?
How has it evolved? Definitely. It's funny because that's a question that I think about quite often. And I see a lot of my grassroots of saying, you know what? Guys are complaining about not being able to find deals. They can't find deals. It's tough market. That's because everybody's sitting behind their computer screen, tapping away, looking for a deal that if it's in mass media, everybody knows about it. Now, I just left for Cleveland because Cleveland's one of our bigger markets. We've been there for 10 years. I just left for Cleveland a few weeks ago, spent 2 weeks out there, harvest over a dozen properties that other people can't find. Why is that? Because I got boots on the ground. So with me being in the trenches helps a lot where most others are relying on electronics. Now, electronics are very important. I mean, apps and software programs and all this other stuff, that's important. And that's where it has evolved. I mean, right. I'll go back to my very first fix and flip. My very first fix and flip, I was remote. We didn't have the internet back in 1995 like we do today. So when I wanted an update on my property, it was a phone call. How do I believe that's true? Then they would send me Polaroid pictures in the mail. Okay. Now everything's very much streamlined, and that's how it's evolved. We're much faster. We're more, a little bit more efficient, but we rely too much on the internet and electronics, where people should really go get their boots dirty and hands dirty.
Right. No, that's absolutely great. Yeah. And I couldn't agree with you more. There's somebody I've been following. I don't want to plug it here because I want to plug you today, but been following their progress. They're doing this challenge and they are uncovering loads of properties just by doing what you're saying, you know, getting boots on the ground. And that could be applicable, I think, to not just single family, but I mean, to any real estate. If it's, you know, if it's multifamily, if it's whatever you're looking to buy, just get out there and see it.
Absolutely.
So that's super cool. What are some mistakes maybe or things that you would do differently if you could rewind the clock?
What would I do differently in regards to the turnkey providing business or education or?
Just your real estate career.
I'm a kind of sink or swim type of guy. So I don't have an issue jumping in and trying to figuring out how to swim with anchor tied around my ankle. So I think that's a pro on my side. But the con on that is that you can spend a lot of money because they say ignorance is bliss, but ignorance is expensive.
Yeah.
You know, and so I've gone from ignorance to calculated risks. How about that? So because I probably should have spent more time in the beginning studying. Mm-hmm. Versus just jumping in and trying to figure things out and losing a lot of money. And I find that's where most investors or want to be investors fail, because I find a lot of investors, well, okay, they're learning. They might do a transaction here and there. There's even a few investors that do a lot of transaction, but their business is a transaction. It's not really a business. And see, I think a lot of people fail not studying. Mm-hmm. So they might take a 3-day boot camp, but they don't go any further than that. And so can you imagine if you needed heart surgery, would you go to the University of YouTube to find someone that knows how to do surgery? Or would you go to a doctor that has spent 4 years in college and medical school and in the hospital under the wing of another doctor or surgeon? Of course. And they succeed because they study.
Right.
And they were under the wing of somebody else. So counsel is extremely important as well. Mm. And so I wish I would have had a little bit more counsel. When you're going back to the question of what would I have done differently?
Right, right. And not only, I think the value not in that counsel is not just not making mistakes, but it also speeds up progress.
Oh, by far.
You can shave incredible amounts of time off just by calling and saying, hey, you know, I had a conversation with somebody that I have certainly my own trusted advisors, and called yesterday and said, hey, I want to run this by you. And, you know, at the end, they're like, you know, 5 minutes later, we're like, nah, put that through the shredder. We're done. That's good idea.
Yeah, I agree with you. But here's the thing with that. You know, a lot of people are afraid of rejection of their idea. And a lot of people are afraid to spend money for the proper counsel. Mm. So, you know, people say, told me the other day, well, I have an investor friend. Okay, great. So you want to fix and flip, but your investor friend does a part. Okay, those are two different animals. Yeah, you got to make part, you got to put improvements into an apartment, but they are two different animals. They're two different worlds. So I don't think I go get advice from that guy. I'm going to go get advice from someone that has been there, done that, and successful today in fixing and flipping. So if you're going to get counsel in the niche field that you're focusing on. And don't be afraid to spend money because like today, what did I tell you earlier, just before we jumped on, what was the highlight of my day? Highlight of my day was two properties that I'm trying to buy that I have in escrow and just found out that we have bowing walls. Well, one of those properties is remote from my project manager. So I paid for a home inspection and that's where I found it. So that $350 home inspection just saved me easily $6,000 in reinforcing that wall.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to pay for counsel.
Yeah. Get the experts on your team. That's absolutely true. What are some things maybe that you've done right that you think we should emulate?
Be relentless. No matter what the market you're in, it could be a roaring 20s market. It can be the Great Recession where most people got out of real estate and went back to their job at Walmart or something. Be relentless and keep the creative juices flowing. So that means you have to surround yourself with those type of people, because if you do that, then you can pull through anything. You can go in over any hurdle and pull yourself out of any hole and be successful in doing it. Now, I thought I was the greatest real estate investor in the world when I got started in 1994, because we were just pulling out of the, you know, recession, which is the closest one to the depression at the time, right?
Right.
And so we had a lot of short sales and a lot of foreclosures and a lot of crap was going on, but I joined real estate and we're now start on the uptick. You know, we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. So from 1995 all the way up to 2007, I had an uphill climb the whole time thinking I can do nothing wrong because I'm making money, whether it's cash flow or flipping a house or buying and holding, right? And then 2008 rolls around, 2009, and my real estate office and every real estate office is hearing crickets. The only time our phone rings is when someone help me type of thing. Well, I flipped a lot of properties, whether it's a wholesale property, purchase options property, or turnkey property from 1995 to 2007. But I actually flipped more properties from 2009 to 2014 during that time span where everybody was running away from real estate. Why? Because it forced me to get creative again, get outside of my comfort zone, seek counsel, and find things that where other people were not doing and supply a need. And that's how I had made millions and millions and millions of dollars, is supplying a need. And at that time, I was focusing on selling auction property to custom home builders that were no longer building custom homes because no one was buying houses anymore, or at least buying luxury houses. So they went back to their grassroots and started flipping properties, little single family houses. And with that, we did thousands and thousands and thousands of houses that way.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, we don't have time for it, but I'd love to have heard the system you built, because I used to have a lot of experience in that, buying at auctions. And I never quite got to that stage of being able to mass buy and mass move property. But I think that's really cool. Maybe some other day we'll just do a specialized podcast on just that, because that in itself is pretty impressive. So that's...
Yeah. And expect that to come back around. So that podcast is going to be very useful.
Yeah, I think this is why this is timely, because a lot of the things you're talking about, the creative finance, the purchase options, things like that, that have kind of gone out of style or more difficult maybe to implement. Yep. I think when these moratoriums and these eviction bans and all this stuff ends, and suddenly I think a lot of that stuff's going to come back around as being a very useful tool in your tool belt.
Absolutely.
So that's really cool. Let's jump here into the final four if we can, Sensei. Question number one is, what is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
Start now. Quit thinking about it and start right now. Jump in.
I love it. When it comes to investing in yourself, what is one thing you are doing to stay on top of your game?
Being in the trenches. You can learn a lot from books and cassettes and audio and YouTube and podcasts, but you can't learn like you can learn when you're out in the trenches, actually touching, feeling, tasting, getting dirty and tired type of stuff. Think about it. You want to be a world champion boxer? You're going to learn from all these different venues online, or are you going to get in the freaking gym and start working out and get inside the ring and take some punches? You want to learn? Get out there and do it.
Right. That's great. When it comes to investing in the world, what is one way you're making the world a better place?
Creating opportunity for people. For those people that didn't know that they had the ability to create opportunity and have some financial freedom in their life by having a rental portfolio, we're doing it with them.
Right. That's super cool. Sensei, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
Well, you can simply go to blackbeltinvestors.com or remoterehabs.com. Simply give us a call. We're open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5 at 951-280-1900.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. I certainly appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.